Jupiter Broadcasting presents this program in stereo. This episode brought to you by the extreme folks over at GoDaddy.com.
This week on the Linux Action Show, we review what just might be the ultimate Linux-powered tablet that you can get your hands on right now. Plus, we tell you how DRM in Windows can nuke your GrubTube bootloader. Oh no! Plus, we've got the scoop on native ZFS support coming to Linux. And so much more. Oh, this week on the Linux Action Show!
And welcome to Linux Action Show, Season 13, Episode 5. My name is Brian, with me, Chris.
Hey there, Brian.
Hey there, Chris.
The new hack for the PlayStation 3 brings Linux back to the PS3, Brian.
About time.
Yeah, so now...
Well, I mean, we kind of had it, but now it's better.
We had it. We had it. In fact, one of like the number one watched videos on the network is how to install PS3 Linux on the PlayStation 3. But the Sony execs said, you know what? We don't want to give people that ability anymore, so we're going to do a firmware update. Takes that off.
Why would they do that?
I don't know.
I still don't understand the reasoning behind, we have a feature, we spent money making sure that feature worked, let's pull it out for no apparent reason.
And it was a major selling point. There was a lot of people that bought the PlayStation 3 because they wanted it to be like a supercomputer running Linux. But actually, when I tried it, one of the problems I had with it is it just wasn't, the performance wasn't that great.
Dude, no. No, by that you mean it was slow as dirt.
Yeah, it was real bad.
It was like running an old like Pentium 2 600 megahertz awful desktop.
I was hoping to turn that thing into an Xbox Media Center device or something like that. But with this is more of a hardware level. It breaks you out of that VM they had you locked in.
Yeah.
And it bypasses some of those jailbreaks. Running it native on the box is my understanding. Now there's some obviously warranty implications here and other things like that. But this is really a great option.
Who needs a warranty anyway? Come on, we're hardcore here.
That's right.
I don't do warranties.
How you doing, man?
I void warranties.
How you been?
I'm great. How you been?
I'm all right. You know, we're running around doing things these days. We're going to be at PAX next week. I'm not even sure.
Oh, man, that is next week.
Yeah.
That's next Friday.
We'll have to figure out the show because I also had a family member pass away in the funerals.
I'm sorry about that, man.
That happens,
you know. What day is the funeral?
It's Saturday, but there's a service on Sunday. So
you gotta go, man.
Well, I'll figure it out. We'll talk. We'll figure it, and we'll let you know. Probably
Come on, the rest of the crew can handle the pack stuff. You gotta take care of stuff. You gotta take care of.
We'll figure out our plans for last. And,
hey, everybody, listen to Linux Action Show. You guys understand? You know why? Because you're cool. You guys are cool, and you get it.
Hey, I have got the Android pick of Android picks this week.
What do you got?
This Android pick is going to be like the demo pick that you will show everyone. Oh, you got a new Droid X? What's it do? It's so cool because my iPhone has DRM. Does your Droid X have DRM? And you'll be like, no, but I can do this.
Okay, lay it on me.
Well, before we do that, I thought we should say holler over at GoDaddy.com.
Oh, man. Well, I would, except for what happens when you do a show 125 times is you forget to bring up the GoDaddy ads.
I think we could improv it. What I've got
is... All right, you know what? All right. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has got you covered. Domain names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, 24/7 practically, 99.999% uptime, I'm guessing.
About the GoDaddy hosting connection.
The hosting connection with the they have this pinky stands for WordPress. This pinky stands for Drupal. I'm not going to use that pinky. That's the middle pinky.
That's the wrong pinky.
I'm going to skip right over that pinky. That pinky you can install also in the GoDaddy hosting connection.
Yeah.
GoDaddy hosting connection is basically this list with these buttons on it, and you go want.
It's like an app store for web services.
You get it all, and it's all free.
They even offer some premium ones at a discount.
That's true. You can
like advertising platforms and stuff like that. So, and you know what? They hooked us up with codes, Brian.
They sure did. So we've got Linux. You type in, when you're checking out, you type L-I-N-U-X. And you know what that gets you? 10%.
That's
just 10% off the debt.
What if I want hosting, Brian?
You add a 2-0 after Linux. It's Linux 2-0. That's 20% off all of your hosting. And I think there's other ones too.
There's probably other
codes. Are the ones we're going to focus on.
They make us feel good.
The rest of them are going to be a secret.
Although, there might be still some of like the $1.99 domains. That was two episodes ago. We put a link for that in the show notes. And if you're going to get a domain, you might as well get it for $2. There was a limited supply, so I don't know if there's still any available, but you might as well try.
I believe that was Action 199, right?
I think it was Action 199.
Yep.
Good memory, dude. Look at you go.
Dude, I did not remember that. I was just looking over here at the chat room, and they reminded me.
Oh, I love our chat room so hard.
Dude, the great thing about having a chat room going live in IRC while we're doing the show, I don't have to remember anything.
It's outsourced brain, dude.
I don't have.
We crowdsource our brain.
I have not prepared for the show at all, actually. Oh, no. So, like, what's going to happen here? Later on, we're going to be reviewing this Lenovo tablet netvertible net.
We've actually hooked the chat room up to a prompter, teleprompter.
Yeah. So I'm just going to read what they say, and I'm hoping that they've actually used this device.
Oh boy,
so
we should
be accurate.
We should ask.
I didn't check.
Hey, how awesome would it be if that actually was how we could do a show? That would be amazing. We could do like 10 times as
many
shows.
That would be great. We could be drunk off of our butts and still do an amazing show if that actually worked.
Right?
Yeah.
Now get ready for this Android pick,
all right,
you guys.
This
Android pick is awesome and it's free. It's Twonky Media Server Mobile. Now you might have heard of Twonky Server. It's
okay, to start with, that's a great name. Twonky.
Right?
What's it mean?
I don't know.
Is it just awesome?
But I'll tell you what it does.
All right.
It allows you to share music, photos, and video stored on your phone, your Android phone, over the network, supporting universal plug and play and DLNA.
No.
It is an on the fly
media
streaming server that's free for the phone.
So I could load it up with music and say a couple
videos,
of movies.
I've done it.
Go over to Chris's house.
Yep.
Fire it up.
Get
and
on
then
my Wi-Fi.
Sit down on your PS3 or whatever and watch it.
Yep. Absolutely.
That is freaking slick.
I know, right?
Dude, try that with your damned iPhone.
It also works with Banshee because Banshee supports it, so you can stream music to Banshee from your Android. And it also
works with Banshee. It probably works with Rhythmbox, too.
Probably. It also works with Windows Media Player. Windows Media Player will show up as an automatically discovered device.
Dude.
Works with the Xbox 360, PlayStation 3.
How's the battery life on it? Like, if I go over, do I need to worry about, like, plugging it in, or will it last a couple hours at least?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did it for at least an hour.
And you can run it in the background?
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that awesome?
Dude.
I know, right? Now I'm saying this, and it's free, dude. It's free. You just put it on there.
Oh, that's epic.
And what's great is a lot of Android, almost all Android devices have removable SD cards, so you can just load it up with
whatever
files. Yeah. And this automatically detects them and shares them out. It's all just
all right, you
boom,
know what?
Boom.
That's just straight up pimping.
I know. I'm really, really happy I found this one.
That is nerdy.
Yep.
That's the sort of stuff I like to see. If we're going to have an open platform, or at least an open-ish platform, this is the stuff.
Yeah.
These are the goods. I don't care about, do I get, you know, a new version of a game where I plant crops? I don't need that stuff. Mm-hmm. What I need is something that nobody else on the planet wants to use, but is the coolest thing ever.
I think
that's this sort of thing.
I think it's pretty robust because I believe it's there is an Android phone out there right now that ships with, or maybe it was a Windows mobile phone. There's something out there that ships with this feature baked into their, you know, their package they do on top of the OS. I think this is the underlying technology they used, and Twonky just made it available for free.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really good. They also do a lot of other stuff for regular desktop and server platforms. You can check them out. But that's the Android pick this week.
Dude, that's awesome.
It's an awesome one. All right,
dude,
Brian.
Awesome.
Well, with all that,
I didn't care about half of the Android picks you've done up until now.
I made you happy finally, huh?
I've been sitting through these Android picks for what seems like 18 years, and I'm like, wow, I do not care if I can find my parking spot, Chris.
Oh.
I don't care. But this, now next week,
a demo app, right?
Next week or the week after, whenever the next Android pick is, you got to find something that tops this.
I know. I probably set the bar too high.
I want something cool. Mm. I want an ASCII aquarium for Android.
What about VirtualBox?
Is that out?
I don't know, but I could see it coming. Couldn't you see that happen?
I'll settle for like DOSBox or something.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So find me something epic nerdy next time, and and I'll let you keep doing this segment of yours.
Okay, good.
Because I was about to kibosh you.
Yeah,
I expected you to come out today and be like,
"This was the deal breaker."
You're like, look at this home screen for Android. Looks kind of like iPhone. And I was just gonna punch you, and I was gonna say, "This is the last time we do this." But
it does kind of have a Mac.
This
Pro
is
look
awesome.
To it,
yeah, but that's fine. It's
Cheese
just got
grater.
It's just got a button.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Now you know what it is. The Mac Pro was a wannabe awesome, nerdy, epic, hardcore utility.
Yeah.
That's why that look is. This look really doesn't look like a Mac Pro. This look looks like hardcore.
Right.
So that's all right. I forgive.
There you have it. All right, everyone. Well, let's do the news.
What's new in the news this week?
Oh, right, Brian. I'm very excited to say our top story this week is ZFS. Is going to be coming to Linux next month.
Thank you.
Now, this ZFS.
I love ZFS.
Actually, if you were really kind of a crazy cat, you don't have to be that crazy. You could get ZFS through Fuse, you know, the user file system thing.
Yep.
But this is actually going to be a native kernel-level driver. It won't be GPL, so don't expect like your open-source distributions to be shipping anytime soon.
No, but it exists.
So they're not actually attempting... They don't have the intention to get mainline kernel adoption, but...
But this makes it so that if you have ZFS drives and partitions, you can read them.
It's going to be a CDDL source code licensed kernel module, and there's going to be no GPL-only symbols in it. So that means there shouldn't be any licensing conflicts, and they also believe that they've covered all their legal bases and won't get sued by Oracle.
Okay, so this is a KQ Infotech that's releasing this.
Yep.
So Oracle owns ZFS.
Yeah.
It's theirs.
Right.
Why on earth would anyone think Oracle's not going to sue them over this?
I guess because of the licensing that ZFS is already under, and because they're maintaining the CDDL original license that it was already released under. They're not relicensing it under the GPL, and they're not including any GPL symbols.
All right.
That keeps them within the same umbrella that it's already underneath. And then they're just going to make it compatible so you can load a driver from the
on the Linux
port.
Side, right?
Yeah, it's
okay. I get it. That makes sense. That does make sense.
That's my understanding.
Yeah. No, that makes total sense.
I'd like to hear it in the comments.
And you know, it's yeah. I'm just very, very nervous about anything related to Oracle right now.
Oracle, Open Office, everything. I'm worried about. It's
exactly. I mean, I'm reliant on Java and Open Office all day, every day.
And now they're extremely hostile. So
now I'm hoping that, and I mean, this is horrible, but I'm hoping that their Oracle hostility is purely based around wanting to attack Google.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that
you look at their comments around killing off Open Solaris, and you can see, and based on what they said, that they don't understand open source. They don't get what everything's about.
Obviously, don't.
Yeah. So I'm. To me, that means there's a fundamental misunderstanding at a very high level in the company, and that makes it likely that we're going to be seeing a continued misunderstanding.
Probably. It makes me incredibly nervous. I mean, as a dev, I look at it and think that, you know, I like seeing ZFS.
Yeah.
Right? But Oracle's not doing that for us.
Right.
So Oracle owns ZFS, but it's someone else who's like, you know what? This is a cool operating system. We want to be able to have access to it from our Linux machines and servers.
And I think because of that reason, you're never going to see it. Not just licensing alone. You're probably never going to see it ship with Ubuntu or definitely Fedora.
Or think about this. If you have an enterprise-class server cluster, are you going to have ZFS running there?
Well,
it's not fully supported by Oracle, and Oracle could literally sue you at any time,
and that's
and
just
you
the
have
thing.
no guarantee that they won't.
If I'm running the server infrastructure on Linux, I'm going to use the file system that is best supported under that operating system because that's what's going to give me the best data integrity.
Yeah.
And so because of that, I'm not going to be using ZFS unless I was running Solaris, but no. I don't think so.
Right.
Or BSD.
And Solaris is great.
Yeah.
But now I can't come near it with a 10-foot pole. I'm afraid to touch it.
Radioactive.
Absolutely radioactive.
Speaking of other things.
When companies sue stuff.
Speaking of companies that are radioactive and sue stuff, do you remember we covered it almost seems like a season ago or something?
It was last season.
Apple is suing HTC over the Android operating system and touch interface patents and stuff like that.
Everyone is going after Android.
I know, dude. I know. And it's interesting, though, because some time has passed since we've talked about that.
Yeah.
And it almost seems like Apple's about to get into a major fight. HTC has filed a countersuit claiming, and I love this, their defense is that four of the patents are invalid, completely invalid. Apple can't even sue them for it because they have a failure to comply with one or more of the conditions for patentability set forth in the United States Patent Code, including but not limited to the utility of the patent. Then it's either novelty or not novel. It has non-obvious or obvious things patented. I mean, all these different types of little implications that
patents
what Apple is
patenting.
Patents
have to not be obvious.
And
it's the deal.
I think what they're claiming is, hey, guys, some of these patents are super obvious.
And they were. I don't remember have the list in front of me of what some of those patents
were. They were like some of the basic, like to unlock.
Yeah, or it wasn't even just that stuff. They were talking about things like multitasking on a phone.
Yeah.
Apple, who literally does not allow multitasking on their phone. I don't care what people say. iOS 4 still does not offer actual multitasking. It offers pseudo kind of sort of multitask splitting, whatever. But they actually sued because they have a patent that says if you have a phone, you can't run more than one thing at a time on it. Seriously? Seriously.
You want to know
Apple, who just jumped in to the phone market after Windows Mobile, after all sorts of Linux-based phones, all of which have had multitasking.
I know, dude.
Palm OS had multitasking more than what Apple's offering right now. So not only does Apple patent obvious stuff that's like, oh man, that rock is gray. Oh, let's write a patent called Rock is Gray and then sue everyone else who happens to have gray rocks.
Yeah.
Apple is doing that sort of stuff and they're not even using it.
Well, HTC is calling them out on it.
It's ridiculous.
And it sounds like there's some other companies around the area that are kind of ready with their patents too to go after Apple. It's sort of a condensed consortium against Apple.
Yes.
Grokla has chimed in with their take on it, and they say this. You know how in the movies when two guys get into a fight on the street, you know, those epic, like, it's usually raining, right? I'm adding that commentary.
Yeah, it's usually raining.
Another guy will run into the bar and yell, "Fight!" And then everyone runs outside to watch. And this is Grokla saying this. I feel like that guy reading this filing because I can see HTC intends to fight back.
I like that. You know, I hate lawsuits. I hate that HTC is filing lawsuits. Yeah. But you know what? You gotta play on their own turf. I mean, if that's what Apple wants to do, you gotta fight back.
Right. And somebody's and just gotta
fight
get
back
it done.
Hard.
And because Apple's not gonna stop. So somebody's just gotta get it just get it taken care of. HTC is one of the premier Android handset makers. Google's gonna have their back. Motorola's got skin in this game. Yep. Nokia's got skin in this game too, because Nokia's suing Apple from all these different angles.
Yep.
And now Apple's asked that some of these lawsuits be consolidated, but hey, nobody's willing to pay for it.
Notice how like Motorola and Nokia and HTC and whatnot, for the most part, they've all been able to live together happily.
Yeah. I mean, that usually is how the underdogs will work together until they're on top.
They're not the underdogs.
No, not really, no.
They have bigger market share than Apple does.
Yeah,
they make more money than Apple does for the most part.
It's a weird psychology.
Apple's is the playground bully. You know, he's the playground bully who's got a couple of friends, thinks he's the most friendly person in the world, thinks everyone loves him, and when he sees one kid who's smarter and better looking than him, he keeps trying to punch that kid. Well, so people have to stand up and sucker punch that bully in the stomach until that bully is laying on the ground and choking on his own vomit. That's what we have to do with Apple right now, because they are the jerk bully who has no skills, no talents, and no ability to ever hold anything better than a fast food job at Jack in the Box or Taco Bell. I am specifically saying Jack in the Box or Taco Bell, and I think you out there know why if you've been to either of them.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
Well, do you think that this is the beginning of the end for Apple's dominance? Do you think that these people are going to come together and just go after them and attack like crazy?
Apple is done. Apple is irrelevant already, other than everyone's pissed off at Apple.
Right.
Who likes Apple at this
point? Well, I mean, they're still selling an amazing amount of product, but there's always that general public delay, like the geeks start to turn first and then the rest of the public catches up. It's like, you know.
You know who also sells a ton of product?
I don't know.
Exxon. Do you love Exxon? Who goes around saying, you know who I love? Exxon. And has like an Exxon hat and an Exxon shirt and everything's branded Exxon.
Well, but those
desktop
Apple stores,
wallpaper, Exxon.
Those Apple stores are packed. Those Apple stores are packed and those things are selling. They're selling.
But you know what? You know who they're selling to? Douchebags.
You know what they need to do?
I'm sorry, you guys. I know there's Mac users out there, and I don't mean to dog on you, because come on, I was a Mac user. For years, I developed Mac software. That was my niche. That was how I made my living. I get it. They do have benefits to using Macs. I'm not going to deny that. In fact, there are some distinct technological benefits that Macintoshes have.
Sure.
It's fine. That's fine. The problem is that Apple as a company is inherently bad, and they've hit a point where they've attacked everyone and stolen people's intellectual property and copied some of the great ideas people have had. And now they're actually out and out suing other people for making stuff before Apple. HTC has been making multitasking phones before Apple, mm-hmm. before Steve Jobs ever even came back to Apple, before not before Gil Emilio, but you know what I'm saying?
I hear you, yeah.
For so long.
Yeah.
And now Apple's is suing them for it? That is ridiculous. That'd be like me designing a car right now and then being like, you know what? Ford makes cars.
I'm going to sue Ford
because I make cars.
I guess.
It's a jerk thing to do. Apple's bad. Apple's irrelevant. Android has bigger market share. Nokia has bigger market share with Symbian.
But, you know, okay, let's flip this around. Nokia, speaking of Nokia, Nokia did sue Apple first, and some of the patents they're suing Apple over is like things that everyone violates, and they just chose to go after Apple, like the use of GSM.
Oh, yeah.
So isn't that just as bad?
You know, it's horrible. It is. It is totally just as bad, but I love it.
And it's, okay, all
and
right.
I feel guilty about it.
It's underdog syndrome, right?
I'm not going to deny it.
But like you were just saying.
I like seeing – but it's like here's the thing. I don't feel like – if you're on the playground and you're a bunch of kids, you don't want to be the kid that goes around sucker punching people in the stomach.
Right.
You don't want to be that kid.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to. You know, if you get bullied, and come on, I can't be the only nerd out there who's had to deal with bullies on the school ground. I got the crud kicked out of me by some of those bullies. And you know what? That stopped when I stood up. And I kicked them in a particular spot,
it was
and then they stopped
maneuver.
Beating up on me. Right. Now, granted, and so have I hit a bully before? Absolutely. Have I hit a bully before the bully hit me, but I knew the bully was about to hit me? You betcha.
Yeah, okay.
And you know what? It's justified.
All right, so...
It's all about protecting yourself, being fair, and not being a jerk.
And I say great for HTC for taking this
step.
HTC needed to... I was worried HTC was going to roll over. I really was too. And I think HTC needed to defend. They needed to put their flag in the ground and say, "No, no, we've got something to defend here," because they really are making great products, and some of these patents are ridiculous. So I'm happy to see HTC doing that.
I am really happy. HTC does great work. They make good phones. They take risks. They try new design ideas. Yeah. They've done some great stuff. And the great thing I love about HTC is they don't pigeonhole themselves onto a platform. Sure, I want to see a lot more support of Linux, but you know what? As a phone company, as a tech company, I like the fact that they dabble in everything.
And
they'll even throw Windows Mobile on there a couple of times.
They'll try it all. I think they were even in talks to try to buy WebOS from Palm for a little while.
Yeah,
they were. Yeah. So I mean, they're kind of a cool company. To watch.
They just want to make a cool phone.
And
I don't like people getting in their way.
Let's talk about this next story, because this one dumbfounds me, Brian, and I think you're going to be blown away by this.
Lay it on me.
Some Windows applications make Grub 2 unbootable. You know, now Grub 2 is making.
Wait.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
So you say for example, you've got a Windows and a Linux system dual boot set up, and you're using the new Grub bootloader.
Got it.
You can actually change software in Windows, alter software in Windows, and there's all types of software. Things like HP Protect tools that come on HP laptops, Adobe's FlexNet DRM activation software. You can make modifications to these, and they will break Grub 2.
How?
This is ridiculous.
Why on earth would a userland type application modify your bootloader?
Well, so this is there's a lot of blame. Some blame to share here. So
that'd be like if I installed OpenOffice, rebooted, and all of a sudden I was running OS 2.
Here's what the problem
is. That doesn't make any sense.
So initially, and I'll probably butcher this a little bit, so I apologize, but take this as a layman's understanding. Initially, remember Lilo, right?
Yeah.
And then Grub came along.
Lilo was a good bootloader. Right. Grub was great.
Yeah. We switched to Grub because Grub could write its code to the master boot record.
Right.
And Lilo had to use a place outside the partition map on your drive to store its code.
Right.
So Grub would write there. But now with the more advanced Linux file systems that just literally require more code to be able to read those file systems, they can no longer fit the code required to boot a modern Linux desktop in the master boot record with Grub 2. So they moved to that find an empty spot on the drive that doesn't have a partition and write a few sectors there.
Right.
And this Windows software also just with the entire intention of hiding it from the operating system, also some of these Windows software will write to a random spot. Well, not random, but an empty spot that on the drive that there's a few sectors free where there's not a partition and write there. And because on some drives that real estate is really in demand, they're overwriting each other. And so updates in Windows those applications will rewrite their data, and they will write right over where Grub 2 wrote its information. And then you reboot your box, and now Windows and Linux are completely unbootable because you can't get Grub to start. Isn't this ridiculous? It's some kind of ridiculous, right? Brian is speechless there, huh?
I'm going to say a few things here. What's that list over? HP Protect Tools, PC Angel, Adobe FlexNet. All right.
Yep. FlexNet is essentially just a DRM activation system, too, which is the most offensive.
All right. Here's the thing, guys. You guys who are making applications that do this, you're doing it wrong.
Stop it.
You're making software wrong. Stop doing it. You don't do that anymore. That's a bad developer. Fix it tomorrow. Be done with it.
I know. And what's awful is at least people's systems unbootable.
Unbootable. So you know what you got to do? This basically makes it so you can't run dual boot Windows anymore. What you have to do is you have to run Windows in a virtual machine now.
Yeah.
There's no other option. Windows applications are so dangerous, they will destroy your ability to boot your computer.
Isn't that kind of ridiculous?
Simply installing and running an app. will make it so you can't turn your computer on anymore.
And what about just the...
So you have to put Windows in a virtual machine in Linux. It's the only safe way to run Windows.
Now, the HP Protect tools, I believe they do it to try to do some sort of a security system where they can protect the system and the operating system is completely unaware of it, so that way the operating system can't be used to bypass it. Whatever, whatever. We'll just skip that one for now, but lame. But the Adobe FlexNet and the PC Angel and stuff like that, I believe these are all so that you could... The reason why they write to these sectors outside a partition is so that way you can format your Windows operating system and to blow away that entire partition, reload Windows, and reload these applications, and their activation information is still there, so like they can keep your activation count and stuff like that. And that is some shady ass that is intentionally designed to fool the user.
This is why...
To fool the customer.
This is why I run Linux on my desktop and my laptop and... my tablet and my everywhere else, because they don't screw with me on this stuff.
I know.
You know, it's you and I have gone back and forth over the years. Mm-hmm. We've run Windows, we've run Mac, we've run OS 2 and BIOS and Linux. We've run everything.
Haiku.
I mean, come on, we're nerdy.
Yeah.
I mean, just like you guys, we probably, you know, a new version of something comes out. We kind of want to install it, even if it's not Linux, even if it's not what we'd normally use.
Right. Just
check it out. So we bounce all over the place.
Sure.
There have been times where, you know, you've come to me and you're like, man, you know, this latest version of Windows is pretty good. And,
sure.
I'm like, you know what, Chris, you're right.
They made improvements to Windows 7.
This latest version of Windows is pretty good. We're playing around with it. And then we'll hit an activation issue.
Yeah.
We'll hit some sort of weird activation
issue.
You
immediately run into
issues. And we're locked out. And the anger that boils up inside of us, not just at whatever OS that is that had those activation issues, but at ourselves for letting ourselves get suckered in to using a system that could present those sorts of problems, like steam out of the ears, your eyeballs start bulging out, you feel like an old 1930s cartoon where it's like black and
it's
white,
because you're defenseless.
But it's just angry.
You're defenseless at the companies, and I believe the one of the key issues is that the Microsoft Windows ecosystem and the Microsoft platform and OS X and the iPod and the iPhone, I don't inherently have an issue with the fact they have DRM because I can choose to use that or not.
Sure.
But what I believe is that those platforms encourage that type of behavior. Like I don't really even see Adobe and FlexNet and DRM writing outside the partitions ever even happening under Linux, because it's completely against the culture of that system.
Dude, I'm sure it happens from time to time. But when it does, the entire Linux world rises up, hits that developer over the head really hard. That developer writes a blog post. Whoops, my bad. Why, my bad, guys? Rolled that change out. We're fixing it. We're good.
Right.
You know why? Because we have smarts. Every dev makes a mistake.
Yeah.
Every piece of software, if it's been around long enough, will eventually do something really stupid.
Yeah.
But in the Linux world, we fix it and we move on. And
now,
it's not even just open source. It's like
Grub
the mentality.
Grub has some blame here, because Grub is also writing to that sector. Grub, you know, the argument is we don't have a good way to do it.
But they're a bootloader.
I know.
I mean, that sector's for, you know, booting the computer.
Yeah.
What else are you going to stick in there?
That's the only, if you're going to be doing that kind of stuff, the bootloader is the only thing I'm okay with.
Right.
That's, yeah.
Right.
Hey, before we move on from the news doc, is there any update you want to give us on Illumination Software?
Okay, I will real quick.
I mean, I don't want to twist your arm, but I was curious.
Let's just announce, so Illumination 2.1 shipped this last week.
That's the one with official Android support, right?
Official Android support. So if you've been waiting on it, Android support is official, is out, is fully supported. You can build Android apps now. And I added in a web browser control. So you can actually build a Android-based web browser.
And what I like
now
is you're like, oh, here's the example. You can just download the code right here.
Yeah, of course.
Just download the project right there. Check it out.
Of course. So that's been a lot of fun. We've got a contest going on right now. The contest ends on, is it Wednesday? I think it's Wednesday. It's the 31st.
It's Tuesday.
Tuesday,
a couple
at
days
midnight
after this comes out.
So if you want to win some free games from Good Old Games, if you want to win a bunch of copies of Illumination for a school or something, head on over to radicalbreeze.com, and there's a little contest tab, and basically we're doing a number guessing game, and whoever does it in the least number of blocks in Illumination wins.
That's
and right
cool,
now, man. We've got a three-way tie.
Really?
Yeah. And it's actually really sad. So we're going to have to give away like four prizes for this because we've got a three-way tie. But then this one guy submitted one that had way too many blocks. It's really convoluted and clunky, but he shaped it like a star. He actually, when he was done with it, he's like, and it works well.
He put
it's
extra
cool
blocks in there to get the shape.
And he moved everything around with all the lines and connections so it looks like a perfect little star.
That's hilarious.
And I'm like, okay, well, I've got a...
That's a new way of coding by
I've got to give that way a present. I've got to give that way a guy a gift. But here's the problem. Now I'm setting a precedent where if people just make pretty pictures in Illumination, I'm going to give them a gift. And I need to put the kibosh on that. Yeah.
But the first one, you almost feel like you got it.
I have to, because that was just great. dude, he should have. Someone in the chat room, he should have made it into a tux. All right, tell you what. If you can make a number guessing game in the shape of tux,
you get a
prize for that.
Nice.
But it has to look good. And if multiple people do that, it goes to the best one, because I can't afford to give away that many games. but I can give away a couple here.
Nice.
Anyway, so that's out there right now.
All right.
Lots of fun. We'll start the next beta.
So this comes out on Sunday, which means you've got till Tuesday.
Tuesday night at midnight Pacific time. I'm going to cut it off.
But you can head over to RadicalBreeze.com to get a demo.
Oh, and I should also say we've changed the pricing scheme.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's... So we did that sale where we were doing
pay what you want.
Yeah. We're just going permanently to that.
No kidding.
We thought about it.
That seems really risky.
Well, you know what? We read a bunch of studies.
Yeah.
Of people over time, of like what they actually pay and like everything else.
Sure.
We realized something. We want to make a living off of this.
Right.
But we also don't want to like gouge college kids.
Sure, yeah.
And it's much more important to me that a bunch of college kids get to use Illumination than we make an extra, $50 off of it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, so
we probably less likely to have your software pirated too.
That's what we were thinking. So you know what?
And you don't really have any like real great privacy protection.
No, not at all. Because I'm not a jerk. I'm not going
to.
So
you might as well try to lower the bar as much as possible.
You know what Illumination doesn't do?
What?
It doesn't write to the boot sectors at all.
Good, dude.
I'm going to make a firm stance right here. Illumination will never write to your boot sector. But so we have like a little slider on the store. It goes from $5 to $100. My thought being, even college kids can afford $5.
Right.
Because eventually they're going to go to McDonald's.
Yeah.
And therefore they can afford that.
Yeah.
And I let it go all the way up to $100 because, well, if you want to give me $100, I'll let you. And I'm okay with that.
Sure.
You know,
you'd be all right.
I'm not going to put up my hands and say, stop, sir, stop. Don't give me $100. but whatever people think it's worth is what they should pay. I'd rather they use it and pay $12 or $50 or $5 or whatever it is and use it.
That's neat.
Because I think this is actually important.
That's not bad.
Anyway.
That's not bad. All right.
I've been preaching about this thing way too much on the show.
Should we?
I think it's important.
Should we start talking about a Linux tablet?
Oh, please.
All right, Brian.
I've been excited to talk about this thing all week.
Well, that's all the news for this week.
Okay, so we've got the Lenovo S10 3T tablet in front of us.
The IdeaPad, dude.
The IdeaPad. So I'm going to be clear on this. So their IdeaPad line is like a couple of machines.
Yeah.
It's mostly netbook types.
Yep.
They made one that is what they call a netvertible. And basically it is a netbook. And I've got this right here in front of me. It is a netbook. You can see how my fingerprint smudges on the screen as I rotate that.
Yeah,
look at that. I've been playing with this a lot. It is a netbook, and it is a fairly standard netbook. It's not like the super small ones that are out there. Here, let me. I actually brought my Triple E so I could kind of comparison.
It's definitely got a little.
Here we go.
Well, and this one you got specifically too. You got a big old battery on.
Yeah,
it.
So you can kind of see the largeness there. Oops, there we go. Where it's back over here. There we are. It's definitely a lot bigger than the Triple E.
The original Triple E.
The original Triple E has the small keyboard and everything like that. So it's definitely much smaller than the new tablet.
Yeah.
But this new tablet has a full size keyboard on it and
That's actually, before you just move on from that, that keyboard is really good. That keyboard is...
It's nice. It's really nice. It's not the chiclet-style keyboard that the kids go gaga over a lot, nowadays.
It's got to be really close to full size.
But it feels full size. It feels typable. And what I like about it is a lot of the netbook keyboards have the really tiny shift key.
Yeah.
It's got full size shift key on each side.
It's nice.
Yeah.
That is nice. Yeah.
It's nice. And I like a very clicky keyboard. I don't know if you can hear that. Nice and clicky.
Lenovo's are known for a good keyboard.
So now here's the thing with this thing though. The screen up here is a touch screen, and we'll get into that momentarily. It rotates. Oh my gosh!
And folds down.
Folds down. Tablet.
And because you got this extra battery here, it gives a little handle.
Now,
this extra handle here isn't normal if you get the standard battery.
Now here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna show you guys this without the battery here, so you can get an idea. Here, I'm holding it funky. There we go. All right. So this is more of an idea of what it's really sized like if you have the normal, whatever it is, three or so battery.
It's the size of a 10-inch screen.
Yeah. It's the size of a 10-inch screen with a small border. You can see it's pretty light, and the small battery is not doesn't weigh too much heft.
I haven't held it without the battery.
Yeah, go for
it. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's real nice.
The battery is about half the weight.
But it's
that makes sense.
This is an 8-cell, right?
Yeah.
An 8-cell on an Atom is a recipe for win, is what that is.
So the reason I got this is I thought, you know what? This is a touch screen. It turns into a tablet. It's a netbook with one of the newer Atom processors in it. It's got some decent juice in it. I bumped it up to 2 gigs of RAM.
Yeah.
It's got a 250 gig hard drive in her. Nice. I thought, you know what? This is going to make an epic media machine, specifically for like reading books, comic books, all these sorts of things on the go. I want this to have a lot of battery.
Sure.
I'm going to go ahead and power this up. But before I do, I want to point a few things out here.
Okay.
You can't see it too well here. SIM card slot.
Oh, nice.
So
for 3G?
That out there. Correct.
So it has a built-in, that's GSM. So it has a built-in GSM modem. That's nice.
It's kind of groovy, huh?
Yeah. So have you tried putting like a SIM in there?
No.
I don't want to pay anything.
And getting a contract with some provider.
You've got a Wi-Fi router on your phone anyways.
Yeah, exactly. I don't really need that. Yeah. But kind of cool. Now, actually, according to Lenovo's website, this has also WiMAX built into it. I have been unable to find information on using that.
The OS doesn't see it or anything?
The OS does not see it inherently. There are drivers on Lenovo's site for it. They don't seem to do much of anything. I don't know maybe what frequencies it's tied to, so I don't know if this is something you can use with Sprint or Clear or what.
Right.
I don't know who you can use this with yet. So,
and what's the Dolby sticker about on this thing? Does it support surround sound?
Yeah, I don't know.
It has HDMI out, doesn't it?
It's got HDMI.
So I bet it does Dolby out the HDMI.
That's probably what it is. I love that because I don't see Dolby stickers very often.
Yeah.
And I actually named this laptop Dolby because, well,
that's
an adorable name.
So what OSs have you loaded up on this bad boy?
It came stock with Windows 7, right? Mm-hmm. And Windows 7, it worked. And it's gone. So what I've got on here right now is Ubuntu 10.10, Alpha 3, which has the full support for the touchscreen.
And we should say, you know, in surprisingly great support.
Surprisingly.
I was really impressed.
So here's what we're going to do here. You can kind of see the screen here right now.
And this is the login screen for you audio listeners here. And Brian's able to just touch the login button.
Full touch right there.
At the login prompt, it starts.
Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing with this. So what I'm running right now, because I wanted to show this to you stock. This is stock 10.10 Alpha 3 installed, no updates, no nothing.
And I can verify it's stock because one way to know it's Brian stock installed is Firefox installed.
Yeah, I see guys, Brian, Firefox immediately.
That's the first thing Brian does.
I really do. So here we are. We've got this little tablet here, and I can just swivel the screen around however I want. Now this is kind of just facing you with the keyboard facing me, so I can kind of play with it this
way.
Just kind of fun. But the real thing here you'll notice is the touchscreen works, and it works great.
Yeah.
You know, you can get in there and go ahead and navigate all the menus, and it works phenomenally well.
It really does.
It works great. The precision of using your finger as a mouse pointer in tablet mode or even in just normal netbook mode is surprisingly how well it works. What does not work is they have a little gravitational accelerometer.
Screen rotation.
So for the auto screen rotation. Yeah. Now there's drivers for that on the Windows side. On the Linux side, it doesn't work. There's no drivers for that currently. So what you have to do, if you go look at Ubuntu's wiki, they've got an S10-3T section on the Ubuntu wiki, which actually has a script in there that you can write.
Oh,
save
okay.
a shell script. Every time you run it, screen rotates.
So, okay.
So what I did in my kind of more customized install is I put a button up in the applet menu that I just tap it and it rotates the screen.
Now, I don't know if you got a chance to try it, but I noticed this guy also has a little webcam on the screen. So that could be nice for a little Skype box. You say, hi there, everybody. And it's right, and you're holding
it right
here.
It's right there.
And it's very portable. So you could carry it around, walk around the house.
And you can walk
Skype.
Around and it works great.
Yeah. That's
it's,
neat.
It's super, super functional.
I really want to say again, I know I'm repeating myself here, but I really want to stress how good the touch drivers work.
Out of the box.
Now, did you try
it? It worked in the installer. I actually installed it
really
using touchscreen.
Now, this, This is
Linux we're talking
about. This is Ubuntu Alpha, though, right? This is the total latest
10.10 Alpha 3.
So is there anything later than that or 10, older than that?
There's not, you know, anything newer, you mean? Like,
no, I mean like an older release of Ubuntu.
That runs with the touchscreen?
Yeah.
No. There are ways to get like version 10.04 and whatnot to work with the touchscreen, just as it is possible to get OpenSUSE to work with the touchscreen.
Yeah, you tried OpenSUSE, right?
But it does not work out of the box. It's a fair bit of work to get it to work. The support is kind of kludgy at the moment. So I had a few problems with it where I'd go to sleep and come back and touchscreen wouldn't work anymore.
Oh, okay.
I didn't like that. It works here.
Yeah.
Going to sleep and coming back, it was working. There's been a few bugs reported that there could be, you know, issues with that. It looks like it's just kind of a problem with the kernel in Alpha 3. It looks like newer kernels have fixed that issue.
Now, you don't have a CD-ROM on, so you had a USB CD-ROM to install OS and stuff.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I've got like my little Triple E here, and I've got a bunch of other netbooks, and so, you know, I've already got the USB CD-ROM to go. However, you can do the whole, install off of a flash drive kind of method.
I really like the whole, I like the whole convertible aspect of it, because the way this thing can turn around, you can really use it just about any angle. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
You could have it. You can also it's just totally...
Exactly. It's flexible. And that's what I like about it. So I thought, okay, how am I going to use this?
Yeah.
You know, it's got this great battery life.
You've had it for a week and a half now?
About a week and a half.
Okay.
I tested it out under Windows 7 Pro Edition and Ubuntu 10.10 Alpha 3 to see what the battery life is like.
Okay.
Now, here's how I tested battery life. I read comic books.
Well, because that's what you've been using it for, mostly.
I'm totally not joking.
I believe it.
I was just reading comic books.
And how'd it do?
It did phenomenally well. The battery life under Windows is better.
Oh, okay.
The battery life under Windows on this guy, I was getting about 8 hours, 40 minutes. Under Linux, I'm looking about 8 hours, 20 minutes, 8 hours, 15. Not significantly worse, and could be variable based on brightness and maybe how fast I'm turning pages.
Wi-Fi signal.
That could have had something to do with it, but it was a little bit worse right out of the gate.
Now, let me ask you, because when you were testing and I was saying, hey, Brian, tell me about the new tablet, you were saying one of the things I'm noticing with this larger battery is it doesn't seem like any software is reading the battery levels right. Is that still a problem?
All the battery levels are wrong.
But that's because you probably have this extended battery, right?
Yeah, it's because I have the extended battery on it. Now, here's the thing. Windows always shows that I have 3 hours left. It just always does.
And then once you actually get 3 hours left,
then
it
starts getting accurate.
Okay.
Yeah,
I've seen that. Yeah.
However, Ubuntu right now shows I have 7 hours, 40 minutes left. That's pretty close to being accurate. Now, before I came over here, it said I had about 22 hours left.
Yeah,
that was not as accurate.
And then when you first got here, it said you had 4 hours left.
Right. So it bounces all over the place. But I've noticed that if you let it sit for long enough and you just don't do anything, eventually it will get it a sort of right,
okay,
which is better than Windows. So nobody's getting the battery reading right, but the battery life is good, and Ubuntu does a little bit better than
And you give
Windows
Ubuntu
does.
Another rev, and I bet it's right, and I bet Windows will still have the same accuracy it's always going to have.
Probably, dude. Yeah. It's probably. So,
do you remember how much this was? I saw on Amazon. In fact, I'll have a link. If you guys are thinking about picking this up and you want to support Lass, I'll have a link in the show notes.
I picked this one up for about $350.
Oh, okay. I've seen one on Amazon for $480 with 2 gigs of RAM pre-bundled.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about
and
right.
And went for $520, and it was like a really fast Atom, a dual core Atom. It was like there was a one for $520.
They're
it seemed
the
like
same.
The money.
There's only one version of the processor.
There was something that was a little extra.
It is.
Maybe it was a different unit.
Let me bring this up here for you.
It might have been a different one.
Where's the? I didn't want to click that.
Now, did you try the Ubuntu Netbook remix on this? Because you're running the full OS.
So
you have two cores.
Yeah. It's the nicer Atom, which is what's it called? It's the it's the Atom N450. So it's
right.
The newer Atoms.
Right.
It's not the Atoms that are commonly being used in most netbooks still.
Right.
It's the 1.66 gigahertz
with two cores.
It's two cores. It's generally nice. It's supported out of the gate. Performance is good. Obviously I put Illumination on here. By the way, since Illumination's all visual, touchscreen under Linux makes for one hell of a cool demo.
I bet.
To be able to build an Android application with a touchscreen by dragging blocks around. I'm sorry to say that I have more pimptitude than I did before. So it's very, very cool. So performance is good. It's obviously it's not,
but
not even like an Intel dual core, you know, desktop processor speed, but it's good.
So why did you not stick with the Netbook Remix? Because I know you loaded that, and I would think that would be a better touch interface for this guy.
I didn't find it was necessary. So I put the Netbook Remix is all built around small screens. You know,
and that's true. You got a pretty good resolution. What is the resolution?
It's 1024 by 600, actually. It's just like most netbooks.
Yeah.
It's very similar, which is just enough. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, web you want a little bit more, but everything fits.
It wouldn't kill you to have a little more, but it works.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it works pretty well. But what I really noticed is using the Ubuntu Netbook Remix, again, with the 10.10 Netbook Remix, touchscreen worked out of the gate. Everything was perfect, flawless. It just had a different experience for me, and it wasn't the one that I needed. Come on, I'm a power user.
I want the full experience.
Yeah, and, you know, when I can actually use my finger to open up all of the stock menus with 99% accuracy. Yeah. Like every now and then I slip and I touch something wrong, but I do that with the mouse anyway because I'm a little clumsy. Why worry about it?
And you know what? It's
honestly, why use something with bigger icons when it already works?
This is the first touch experience I've ever had with Linux. I've used like HP Touch Marts with Windows 7 and OS 10, well, like trackpads or whatever. But this was the first time I've ever touched Linux
in a way.
And it seems like weird, but like to hit the no menu and go over and touch text edit and have it come up, or G edit and have it come up, or terminal and have it come up, is just, I don't know, it's a whole new way of interfacing with Linux, and it was more cool than I expected.
And I'm gonna be honest here, there's something really gratifyingly fun about dragging around a terminal window with your finger.
And you were showing me earlier in Compiz, you can bring up your Compiz wall.
Oh, yeah. Check this out. Here.
I don't know if they'll be able to see like this. But...
Bloop. All right. Can you see that?
Yeah, I think the lights... they can kind of see it.
Let me see if I can find it with my
finger
here.
There you go. You got it.
Whoa. And I'm dragging windows all the way around.
So Compiz with touch is really cool.
And it works phenomenally well. And it's impressive how well it works. So I want to back up for a second. It works great under Linux.
Works under Windows, too.
It works under Windows, too. That's fine.
And the touch stuff works fine under Windows.
And actually, the touch experience under Windows is good. They did a good job of, you know...
Has a lot of stuff for
Windows 7, they obviously did some work there. But so we've heard a lot about how Ubuntu's adding, you know, nice multi-touch gestures and whatnot into version 10.10 and beyond. That obviously is not really here in this. It's just that the touch screen works well. So, but that's fine. So that gets us started.
Right,
we don't have the multi-touch gestures yet, but that's getting it started.
Yeah.
So we've got the ability, and the screen does rotate if you run the little script. So you can rotate it. So you can hold it like you would a book or a tablet or an iPad or whatever it is you're running.
This seems like this would be great for end user support. You could walk around with you. You could have your tickets on there. You could have all your email on there, respond to it live.
So I thought, how am I going to compare this? What am I using this as? I'm using this as a replacement for both my netbook, my ebook reader, and a tablet. So what are the things?
And a laptop in a lot of ways, too.
So we've kind of been talking about how well it compares against a netbook. It's faster than most netbooks out there. It does have that. Some netbooks are a little faster than this. Most aren't. So there is that.
Do you know, does this have the Ion graphics in it?
No.
No, so that would be
Intel.
One thing.
It's Intel graphics.
But the Intel graphics work well under Linux for Compiz support
and full 3G. Full 3D support.
Yeah.
And actually, games play pretty well.
So the battery life and performance is obviously better than the AAA.
And just so you know, Star Trek Online does play under
this. Does it?
I only tried it on the Windows side, but it does play.
Well, the important things take
so care. It does work well as a netbook replacement. But if you're buying this as a netbook or as a small laptop, it's a little more expensive. You can get, for about $70 less, a comparable netbook.
So you're saying, to you, it's a netbook Kindle, and you're also using it as a laptop.
Right. So here, let's compare it with the Kindle.
And there's a Kindle app for it. So
there is. And plus, there's a lot of really great FB reader and a lot of really great open source ebook readers that are just fantastic. So obviously, a whole ton of a lot bigger than a first generation Kindle.
And a lot heavier, to be honest.
And a lot heavier. And you're not going to get the battery life. And while using this screen to read ebooks is a joy. It's nice. It's fantastic.
The Kindle or this?
Lenovo. It's not as good as the e-ink passive non-backlit display of the Kindle for reading pure text.
So for long reads, you're going to stick with the Kindle?
For long reads, I'm still going to stick with the Kindle. For the Lenovo, it works pretty well. If I didn't have a Kindle, I would be using my Lenovo to read and be very happy with it.
You'd be fine with that.
I'd be totally fine with it. But nowadays, with the Kindles becoming so cheap and the fact that you can get these for like $100-some, I'm looking at $150 for a Kindle, and it's a dedicated reading device. Maybe that's the way I go.
They both run Linux, dude.
They both run Linux, so I'm happy with it.
Now, how's your sleep and all that support been on the Linux?
Sleep works great.
Good. It's not really becoming an issue anymore.
Yeah, it's not an issue like it used to be. Yeah. So then let's look at it from the point of the tablet.
Okay.
Let's go against the iPad. Okay. Because let's be honest, that's what people are going to compare this against. Is this an iPad killer?
Tablet. Okay.
Can you not use an iPad and have something like this? Yes, absolutely. Are you freaking kidding me? So here's the thing. This is faster than an iPad by leaps and bounds. This has about 18 billion times more memory than an iPad. This comes with a 250 gig hard drive in it that has, a lot of that shock stabilization and whatnot, so it doesn't get all janked up.
You've got a VGA out, two USB ports. I have no idea what that is.
It's a TV tuner port.
You've got audio out, Ethernet, which is awesome.
Multi-memory card reader up front for SD and everything else.
I'm really Ethernet in a device like this. I know it's a netbook, so it should have Ethernet, but at the same time, it's a tablet, and you don't have Ethernet.
Audio in and out. Front-facing webcam. I'm sorry, but basically, this has everything everyone wants in an iPad that the iPad doesn't have. Plus multitasking.
And choose your own OS.
I kind of come at a point where I'm just like, well, geez, I can put whatever I want on this. So if I want to read digital versions of every comic book on the planet, I can. Now I know like iPads have, like the Marvel comic book reading application and the like.
That's nice.
Well, if you go to Marvel.com, you can sign up for a Flash-based, read all that stuff online, plus more.
Wait a minute, Brian. You mean you can play Flash?
Right. So even under Linux, and by the way, Flash runs great on this. And I've been playing around with the Marvel stuff from the Linux side of things on this.
Cool.
Runs phenomenally well. Reading comic books on this is great. The screen is a little bit nicer than the iPads.
I think one knock I'll give it as far as that goes is the iPad has a sort of
better viewing angle.
Yeah, all viewing angle. But if you're operating it directly in front of you, it's pretty good.
This is not a multi-user experience device. I'm not going to put this down on my desk and have 10 people crowded around to look at it from a bunch of angles
The multi-angle thing is nice when you're holding it here and you want to show people, like, yeah, check out this video we did. But at the same time,
it's good
enough. That's a trade-off that,
it's good enough for demoing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So there is that. So in terms of reading things, this is definitely a better experience than the iPad. The iPad's lighter.
I think what it comes down to is if you're a mobile user, you're going to end up taking this. I really think if you're a mobile power user, because what we really haven't talked about that much is the keyboard really is just absolutely awesome.
It's great.
The keyboard on this thing is like a full-size laptop keyboard, and because of that, you can really use this as a full mobile workstation that
you
can
really
convert
can.
To a tablet, so you can do tablet-like stuff. Like I was just thinking end-user support. I would probably do that in a touch interface, but then if I needed to compose an email, I'd probably flip it around and bust out the really good keyboard. And I think that's where its main edge over the iPad is, because really in that scenario, if you have an iPad, you still also have to have a laptop.
Yep.
And this is one device. This truly is one convergence device.
Absolutely. Then the other question is like music and video. Music playback is great. The speakers that are built in are decent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's netbook speakers.
Because it's full desktop Linux, you just use whatever audio app you want.
I'm using Banshee on my main system. Right now it's running Rhythmbox, which is also great. Runs just fine. Playback of videos is good. Not amazing, but good.
How's heat-wise in fans when you're doing that kind of stuff?
Actually, very quiet. I mean, if you listen to it right now.
Yeah, it's quiet now.
It's quiet, and it doesn't get too warm.
It's quieter under Ubuntu than it is under Windows.
Yes. It's much quieter under Ubuntu than Windows. Yeah. It seems to stay cooler.
Yeah.
Ubuntu is actually doing a better job of the power management for heat-wise.
Windows 7.
But it, in turn, it does get a little tiny bit less battery. I think that's because maybe it's hitting the hard drive more often. I'm not sure. But video playback, I can play MKVs and Xvids just fine under
this. Also, you know what else is going to get you with the battery life under Windows? Is Windows is better about adaptively changing the brightness of the screen.
Yes.
And that's really going to save you battery.
Yeah, no, I have this set right now to kind of dim the screen after like 60 seconds just to kind of maximize that. But it's good. It's very, very good.
So it's a buy in your book.
Oh my Lord, yes.
Yeah.
This is a phenomenal system. Now, I don't know that I would get it with the stock lower end battery. The lower end battery is supposed to get you about 3.5 hours of battery life, which is fine for a laptop.
Yeah.
But for a tablet that I want to just walk around the house with, that I want to sit around with, I want the bigger battery. And the battery actually serves a purpose. It's very solid, and it works like a handle.
Yeah.
Now, I know it makes it heavier. It does make it heavier. Now, if you're just holding it, if you hold it by the side and just dangle it with one hand, your wrist is going to get tired.
Yeah.
But if you're holding it with two hands, it's great. If you can prop it up against something, it's great. It's not that heavy, and it really does need a handle. Otherwise, you're holding it by like the speaker side over here or by the edge of the screen, which is a little clumsy. It's almost more sturdy to have a bigger handle and just hold it.
And
by
you get the longer battery life, you know, 7 to 8 hours, kind of what you were seeing, right?
Yep.
So you get
I'm seeing about 8 hours.
And okay, and not only that, but like I was saying earlier, it is heavier with that extra battery than the iPad, but if you're going to have to carry two devices anyways, your net weight savings is there.
And it's fast enough. I can do all my coding on here. I have my Dropbox synced up to here, which I can't do with an iPad.
It's all your full apps. It's your full apps.
I've got all my comic books I read on here.
So would you say
videos on here? 250 gig hard drive. Think about that for a second. That's a lot of damn video.
And if you wanted to, you could swap that out to an SSD.
How much hard drive space does the iPad come with?
I think the biggest
32 or 64.
64 is the largest.
So 64 gig.
But you're almost $800 at that point.
And it doesn't mount as a hard drive. So in order to put files on it, you have to go through iTunes, which means you can only do some files. I can throw any kind of file I want on here. It's a full desktop. I can do whatever I want, and the touchscreen interface still works. The pointer is specific enough. The touchscreen controls are fine enough with my finger that it works like a mouse.
Do you think
it doesn't need anything?
It's safe to declare, as at least for the time being, this is the ultimate Linux tablet. I mean, it's here today.
It's
you can
right
buy
now.
It. The options are there.
It's not that expensive. I wouldn't say that this is a desktop replacement, but it's a laptop replacement.
Yeah.
And it's
I think it's a laptop replacement too, especially if you have a desktop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
It's cool.
It's, and now it doesn't ship with Ubuntu out of the gate. That's its biggest drawback, in my opinion.
Mm.
Because honestly.
And currently to get full support, you need to be running the alpha version of Ubuntu.
The alpha version of Ubuntu to get it so that it works out of the gate. The only thing you'll have to do to get wireless working is you have to enable restricted drivers.
Right.
Which it comes with, you don't have to hop into the terminal or anything like that.
Right?
I think the wireless is Broadcom.
Oh, sure, of course.
You know how it goes.
Yep.
But it works.
Cool, dude.
And again, it amazed me. I booted up off that live CD. Installer comes up. I touch the screen because I'm like instinctually
just
to see what happens. Oh my God. I clicked next and it worked.
Oh, I bet that was awesome.
Freaked me out. I mean, come on. We're used to video not showing up right. No audio, no Wi-Fi, and having to tweak a little bit. No.
The chat room's asking about Sean and East Coast Girl are wondering if you tried any full screen flash on this guy.
I tried Hulu and it played fine.
Full screen?
I didn't try full screen.
Okay. But the flash works.
Flash works. Yeah, yeah. It works great.
And the new Atoms are supposed to be better with the flash acceleration. It doesn't have pressure sensitivity.
Nope. No, it's multi-touch. But there's no pressure sensitivity. So when, you know, Ubuntu 10.10 adds in all the fancy gestures and whatnot, those will work. So you'll be able to do the, I believe it handles 3 touch points at once on the screen.
Okay.
But currently it just handles 1 because, you know, it just because of the drivers and the support for it. But, you know, no pressure sensitivity. So you're not going to be using this as a drawing tablet.
It is a glossy display. The chat room was asking if it was glossy.
It's glossy. Yep.
Yep.
Yep, so I kind of prefer matte, but honestly, oh, chat room just asked a great question. Scum VM on the tablet. All right, so here's the thing I've been really getting into on this thing. I mean, I'm a retro gamer. I love hardcore gaming. So, and now I'm kind of kicking myself for reinstalling just stock Ubuntu. So you
can
see
had it all loaded up.
So I had it loaded up. So. You can install Scum on here. Those old Scum games, Maniac Mansion, Day of the Tentacle, you know, Leisure Suit Larry, you know, Monkey Island, those play so great on a tablet. It is a phenomenal experience that I cannot even begin to describe. You know how when the Secret of Monkey Island came out for the iPad and the iPhone, everyone freaked out about it because, oh my gosh, it's so awesome, right?
Right.
Oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
Scum
Well, you know what I can play? I can play every single one of those old
Scum
adventure
VM,
games.
You can play them all.
And they play perfect. All those point-and-click games. Tap, I go to here. Open that cabinet. awesome. And then they make a monkey joke and I laugh. It is great. And it plays so well. It does not drain the battery life all that bad. It's phenomenal.
That's cool.
So it's a pretty great system for gaming that way. But the great part is it plays well for touch specific games that work well like this. But I also have a mouse and a keyboard so I can play all the other games, which means.
And USB ports.
It actually is a good gaming system. So I could plug in a USB, you know, like little controller that actually works as a console controller and play emulators on this. Whereas you can't do that with an iPad.
I like that.
It's a great system. It's open from the stance of you can put whatever OS you want on it. It's awesome. I got to give this a buy.
That's the IdeaPad S10 3T, folks. The chat room was asking.
From Lenovo. The build quality is great. It's sturdy. I mean, obviously, it's not made out of metal. It's a plastic device, but it's awesome. Cool, I like it a lot. I can't say anything bad about it.
That's a pretty glowing review, and I totally agree. It's a really nice device.
It's a fantastic device. The only downside to it really right now is that you'll have to run an Alpha OS to really get advantage of the touch.
How long have you tried the Alpha OS? Has the stability been okay?
Stability has been great. Actually, this current round of alphas for Ubuntu 10.10 has been pretty solid, pretty stable. And it is possible to run OpenSUSE or earlier Ubuntu's with the touchscreen. Just a lot more work. There are tutorials out there online to you can look at if you want. I'm going to try to post some information on my blog for those running this.
You know what I would like
this
to see? Sean in the chat room also calls us out. This was different Sean, though. He says Migo.
Migo on it. Migo on it. No, I'm right there with you. I also really want to put Android on here just to see how she runs with the touchscreen.
There's an Android x86 project that would probably work on there.
It probably would. Yeah, so, you know, hey, I'll tell you what, guys. If I get Migo or Android running on this in the next few episodes, I'll show you guys so I can go swoosh, swoosh, swoosh with my tablet, and we'll see how it goes. But right now, I love it. Awesome work, Lenovo. Come on, they make good tablets and laptops anyway. They always have.
Yeah, they've had a good rep for a while with the Linux community.
So I love it.
Cool, dude.
Fantastic.
Well, that's our look at the ultimate Linux tablet.
Okay, Chris.
Yeah, Brian.
I think we're done.
That just about wraps it up, huh?
Yeah, we're done. We're done this week.
You reviewed all over the microphone.
I left it all out there, and I'm spent.
We actually had to take a break between segments to wipe off some of the review off of the microphone.
There's too much. I don't know what that means, but it kind of creeps me out, dude.
Hey, you know what? People have been asking, and I wanted to remember to tell folks that coming out the week that this episode comes out, before sometime between Sunday and the weekend, we're going to have a behind-the-scenes tour video come out. So if you've been curious how we do some of the stuff here at Jupiter Broadcasting.
Now, we've had those in the past, but it's been a while.
It's been a while. We've had a lot of requests for it.
We've updated some of our workflow and a couple of things here and there. Yeah. So
the that video should be coming out. I don't know. Check. We'll probably post it up at jupiterbroadcasting.com. So check the front page.
That's a really good guess. We'll probably also let people know over on facebook.com/jupiterbroadcasting.
Good call, Brian.
When that happens.
Yeah, it's
kind
also
of the good spot to know when we're doing stuff. When we go live, we tell you there.
That's how the over 100 people that are watching now found out that we are doing Linux Action Show live every Sunday at 10 a.m. over at jupiterbroadcasting.com/live.
10 a.m. We wake up and get going for you. Yeah. I haven't had breakfast yet.
Good job, dude.
This is how dedicated I am.
I had a cup of coffee.
Did you?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I haven't drinking anything.
Yeah.
I haven't eaten anything.
Wow.
You know what I thought?
You're raw.
I'm going to run on raw
Linux
anger
power
at Apple. Apparently, that's what's happening this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, all right. That works. Hey, dude, whatever gets you to the show,
whatever
man
gets me through the day.
That or heroin. I'm comfortable either way. What?
You know what's kind of messed up in
what's
a way?
That?
Yeah, so you know what we're doing the next release of Illumination, don't you?
What?
iPhone support.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I just ranted about Apple for like, I think 4 hours. I think you listened to a 4 hour me ranting about Apple, mm-hmm, about how they're evil.
Right.
I'm adding iPhone support to Illumination.
Oh, Brian. You're such a conflicted SOB.
No, man. It's all about freedom and choices.
It's all about choice.
I want to point this out.
That's the same reason why Google is putting Android Flash on Androids. They want you to have the choice.
Apple's, I'm supporting iPhones, but what did I support first? Linux.
Right.
First platform I supported.
Right.
What was one of the next platform I supported?
Haiku.
okay, yeah. But then Android.
Yeah.
So I've got my priorities straight is what I'm saying, everybody.
Right.
But
All right.
Yeah, I'm just gonna leave that out there on the table. Not gonna say anything else because that would be Yeah.
Okay. All right, everyone. Well, if you've got a suggestion for your ultimate Linux tablet, or if you've had a chance to try out one of these IdeaPads, like the S10-3 here, let us know in the comments. You can head over to JupiterColony.com, leave us feedback for the show there, or leave a comment wherever you watch it. We try to check them all.
We try to.
We're cool like
that. I don't. So what I do is, if you want to get a hold of me, what you want to do is you want to message me on Facebook, Twitter, yeah, and email.
Twitter is the best way for me.
Twitter's the best way because yeah, then
you're twitter.com/Brian Lunduk.
I don't have to read, right?
And I'm Chris LAS.
Right. And then I only have to read like 140 characters.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm so lazy, guys.
That helps to condense it down.
So lazy. I don't even like Twitter that much, but man, I love 140 character limits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone. Well, thanks so much for watching this episode of the Linux Action
Show. That's the thing. I don't like being limited myself. Right. I start typing in Twitter and God damn it.
I like
more.
Buzz. I really do. Buzz is my
I like it when other people are limited to 140 characters.
I hear you. Because I like Buzz because it has threads. And threads
are
awesome.
Yeah, it is nice.
Okay, everyone. Well, thanks so much for listening or watching to this episode of Linux Action Show. And we'll see you next week.